In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
John is filled with faith, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and Mary is filled with the incarnate God. All rejoice that God is man. John cannot speak, but his leap is a confession of his faith, a kinetic sermon, a prenatal ceremony that finds its joy and hope in the child Mary bears. Already John fulfills his office by pointing his mother to the Son of God, her Savior. But how does John know that he is in the presence of God? Elizabeth gives us the answer. She says, "When the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." You see, Elizabeth is a good Lutheran. She understands that God does not come apart from his word. He is not recognized apart from his word. So it is not by sensing God's presence that John recognizes he's in the presence of God, but it's by the word. John heard the word. John believed that word. And so John leaped to confess his faith. The Spirit is not hindered by the walls of a womb or an undeveloped body. He works where and when it pleases to create and strengthen faith. The Word of God is God's power. In the beginning, he created something out of nothing by his Word. What did the fish and the birds and the animals hear? Well, they heard the Word of God and sprang forth to life. Or what did dead Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, or the widow of Nain's son hear? Jesus could have touched their rotting corpses to restore them to life, but he didn't. He spoke his word, and the dead heard and were raised. On the last day, Christ will again speak to the dead, and all the dead will hear his voice, and all the dead will wake up. So if the dead can hear the voice of Christ, then certainly a living child can hear his word and believe. Babies in the womb need to hear God's word because they are conceived in sin. The moment the egg is fertilized, it has a complete genetic makeup, including whether or not it is a boy or a girl. But sadly, this also means it is a sinner in need of a savior. Even in the womb, the child deserves eternal death and punishment. He is under the power of the old evil foe. How dreadful, then, to end a pregnancy and to speed that child on a path toward hell. Murdering the unborn has to be the biggest stain on our society, and those who approve of this will not inherit the kingdom of God. How can these children be saved if they do not believe? And how can they believe if they do not hear the word of God? Faith comes by hearing the word. And so when the word is preached, when the word is heard, the Spirit works faith in that unborn child, even if he's only minutes old. When the word is preached, when the word is heard, these little children recognize the voice of their God and that they are in his eternal presence. They are redeemed by him. They are justified by him. They are sanctified by him. They are made righteous by him. They are given heaven by him through his word. So no greater care could be given a child in the womb than a mother who sings and prays and attends to the word of God, or a father who brings both mother and child to the divine service. So do you see how closely God binds himself to the word? He has not promised to work outside of that word, but always through it. John recognized the presence of Christ not by sensing it or feeling it, but through the word preached and heard. You do the same. Christ is not present wherever you feel he should be, but he is present only where the word says he is, regardless of your feelings. So hear the word and you will find your Lord. Listen to that word and the incarnate God will come running to your ears to fill your body and your soul with his incarnate presence. When Elizabeth heard the word, she too was filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, these things do not happen spontaneously. But they happen only through the Word. The Word is the catalyst. It is the power of God. It reveals Jesus. It gives faith. It fills you with the Holy Spirit. Your feelings do not bring Christ to you. Your knowledge does not point you to where he is, but only the Word brings Christ to you. Yes, God is present everywhere, but he does not want you to search for him everywhere, only where the Word has directed you to find him. So filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth confesses her faith just as her son does. She does not leap for joy, but she echoes the same words that Gabriel said. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Which then brings us to the very reason for John's leaping in Elizabeth's confession. God dwells in the flesh, in Mary's womb. The Word testifies of him. Joy is found in him. Mary is blessed among all women because she alone is called the Mother of God. No other woman can claim to give birth or to conceive God. Mary can. Now, we must say that she is saved in the same way that you and I are, by grace through faith, that God has given to her this high calling, the highest calling among all women, only by grace. For 9 months, God was found inside her womb. Where Mary went, there God went. John confesses this, and so does Elizabeth. Jesus is the reason for such joy, an enfleshed God whose cells divided and multiplied, whose heart and lungs developed, whose fingers and toes were formed. He crafted the universe and still sustains it. And yet in the womb of the Virgin, the changeless God dwells. The infinite is wrapped in flesh, and the eternal is found in time and space. We cannot separate the person of Jesus into two persons, so that one nature does some things and the other nature does other things. Everything that Jesus did, everything he went through, he did and went through as both God and man. One nature may be more obvious at certain times, but both natures were active. And so he entered this world as you entered this world, so that he might sanctify you from the moment of your conception. He is conceived to sanctify your conception in sin. He is carried in the womb, for you were wrapped in sin. He is born in holiness to cleanse you from your sinful birth. He grows and he learns and he increases in wisdom and knowledge and in favor with God and with man. For by nature, man only increases in defiance against God. He lives to fulfill the law that stood against you, and he even sanctifies your death and your grave. Thus, he is your Savior from the very moment your life began to the very moment that you are laid to rest in a grave, and through it all. For as Christ rose from the dead, so also his voice will wake you up from the dead. For he remains your Lord and your Savior. So hear his word. Believe his word. For your joy and salvation is found only in him. The word directs you to where the Son of Mary is now present for you. Once hidden in Mary's womb, he now hides behind bread and wine. It is his body. It is his blood. Filled with the Holy Spirit, your lips sing for joy with Elizabeth, and your knees fall down to confess the presence of God. And the incarnate Lord who dwelt in Mary's womb once more enters your body to dwell among you. Mary is only a few weeks pregnant at this time. She sees Elizabeth. She doesn't look pregnant or feel pregnant, but she believes the word. Elizabeth believes the word, and so does John. So you may not look or feel any different after you receive the Holy Supper, but you believe the word that God lives in you and dwells with you. Blessed are you for believing that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to you from the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.